Mays.
Host of The Athletic Football Show, Robert Mays.
We're talking football with Robert Mays of The Athletic Football Show.
You've given him everything you can hope to give him now. The offensive line, will see how it all gels, but the personnel should be there to at least be a reliable unit. You combine that with the play, with the pass catchers, and then to me, it's the relationship with the play caller and the offensive coordinator. You look at what happened last year, and it just never worked. There was never any sort of synergy between what Shane Waldron wanted to do and what Caleb Williams wanted to do.
Robert Mays out here just telling the truth casually. Telling the truth casually on The Athletic Football Show that he hosts. You can find him on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Robert Mays. He joins us here on Raheemy and Harris. Russell Dorsey in for Layla on this Monday. You can also check him out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Robert Mays joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Robert, what a day to be able to talk to you after what we saw happen late on Friday, as the news is revealed that an extension has been given out to Ryan Poles, which will take his contract now through 2029, aligning him with the same length of contract remaining as one Ben Johnson, the head coach of the Chicago Bears. What's your initial reaction to this news and the fact that we even learned the terms of the contract?
It's very clear. I think the Bears are trying to help with the messaging here a little bit. They've been slammed for a very long time for misalignment within the organization, whether that's teams being, or front offices being allowed to draft a quarterback before getting fired, GMs and head coaches being on different timelines with different motivations. I think it's very clear here that they want everyone to know that things are different now. Things are aligned here now. Everyone is moving in lockstep. And I feel like that's why we got so much transparency with the terms of this, where we don't often in these situations.
Robert, before you came on, we were going through the good, the bad, and we're going to get to the ugly of the Ryan Poles era in Chicago. When you think over the last couple of years, if I'm a fan out there and I say, Robert, give me some glimmer of hope as to why this is a good decision for the Chicago Bears, the charter franchise of the NFL, what would it be?
I guess the first thing I'd say is I don't see this as necessarily a reflection of how well he's done at the job. I think this is more about getting everyone on the same page and letting everyone know that we're on the same page. When it comes to how good of a job he's done, I think that this is, if you are trying to spin this as they're rewarding him for a job well done, what they're trying to tell you here is the coaching staff was very, very bad. The roster here is good. That's not the problem. Whether you want to buy that, I think, is up to you. And I also think we should probably take into account that Ryan Poles had a job in hiring the coaching staff. That to me is one of the number one issues, or maybe the number one issue that we've had in the Ryan Poles tenure, is what happened with Matt Eberflus and the decision to keep Matt Eberflus last offseason. I feel like that's one of the biggest strikes against him. Obviously, the Chase Claypool trade is one of the worst trades we've seen in the NFL in the last several years. And I've said this before, to me speaks to one of the broader issues when it comes to how I see the Ryan Poles tenure. I think too often he gets into his mind, I need to make this happen, right? The Chase Claypool thing, I feel like, is something that was marinating even before the season started. They got to the trade deadline. They wanted to get Justin Fields a weapon. The reporting at the time said that the Packers were willing to trade a second round pick for Chase Claypool. And so Ryan Poles said, I'm going to make this happen. I'm not going to let him go to Green Bay. I think too often that's been the case, where he's not willing to live out some of this uncertainty. He's like, I need to do this even if there's some downside to it. You know, we've seen that even in moves that didn't happen but almost did. That clip of him trying to trade up for Roma Dunze in the first round of that draft in the top 10, I feel like he does that a lot, where he gets in his mind that it has to be this way, and it gets him into trouble every so often. But overall, I think if you look at the talent on the roster, I think it's solid enough to justify some optimism here. I feel like the people that have been tasked with putting this roster in the correct positions to succeed, those are the guys that have failed, and I think those are that's the reason those guys are no longer here.
Robert Mays from The Athletic Football Show joining us here on Raheemy and Harris. Russell Dorsey in for Layla. Robert, everything you just laid out, I'm just curious, is there any evidence supporting the claim that Ryan Poles has done a good job with the draft, though? And that's really what has to happen for the Bears to take the next step forward, in my mind.
I'm not sure. I mean, if you look at the draft picks over the last several years, I think that there are obviously some misses. when the Velus Jones pick is the one that comes to mind when those early drafts. But since then, I feel like they've gotten decent returns out of their early draft picks. Kyler Gordon just got extended. Jaquan Brisker has been a solid player when healthy. Braxton Jones, even if he's not your left tackle of the future, has absolutely outplayed a fifth-round draft slot. Gervon Dexter, I feel like, is still an ascending player, and I'm curious to see what he does in year three. I'm not out on Tyreek Stevenson yet. Obviously, last year was a terrible season, but the flashes he showed as a rookie and just how volatile cornerback play is in general, I absolutely have some faith that that can still work out. We'll see what happens with Caleb Williams, and we'll see what happens with Rome Odunze, but that's really it. I mean, those are the first and second round picks that we've seen so far. And I think those are the guys you want to be starters. I mean, really the only third round pick outside of Velus Jones that hasn't done much that we would expect something from is somebody like Zach Pickens. And, you know, third round picks are hit or miss. They're 50-50. So I think to this point, I'm not overly disappointed in what the returns have been from the draft. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see what happens with Caleb and what happens with Rome this year.
Now, Robert, we're talking about the draft, so I want to stick on a draft topic with you, and you're covering all of the NFL, not just the Chicago Bears. I'm very curious by this because we're in the middle of summer and baseball's going on, so people might not realize 30 of the 32 second-round picks from this year's drafts are still unsigned as camps open. For people out there that don't understand what's going on here, what's going on, and at what point should fans of teams be concerned that what should be an impact player for you in the second round is not in camp signed?
I think that this is, we used to do this all the time, right? I mean, there used to be so many more bits of tension around rookie draft pick contract conversations just because those deals weren't slotted. And so now I think we've seen teams start to institute what they want to be new benchmarks when it comes to guarantees, and that's where some of the tension has happened. It's happening with Shamar Stewart in Cincinnati because they tried to set a new precedent last year with their first round picks, and now it's happening with all of these second round picks. I guess the only solace you can take as a fan is that every single team is essentially dealing with this. So every team's second round pick is probably going to be on some sort of messed up development timeline. But I think this is just an indication that as we try to figure out some of the nuances with the guarantees, there are going to be bits of tension under this CBA that we just haven't seen up to this point.
Robert Mays joining us. He's the host of the Athletic Football Show covering the NFL. And of course, if you're watching on Twitch, you see it. You see the Cubs hat. You see the Bears stuff in the background. This guy wants Chicago to be good at football. My question is, what are the realistic expectations for the Bears knowing what we know now about Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, and a pressure cooker that's ready for now Caleb Williams to step into it?
I think a realistic expectation is for them to push to be a wild card team this year. I mean, they have, again, GM just got extended. They supposedly have enough roster talent to be competitive. If you look at the team overall, I think that there are going to be questions about how it all comes together. How do all the pass catching options fit together? How does the offensive line, the majority of which, 60% of which, is going to be playing together for the first time in year one, how does that all gel? How does Ben Johnson take to being a play calling head coach versus just an offensive coordinator? What happens with some of the younger players on defense? Do we get bounce back seasons from people like Tyreek Stevenson? But I think if you just set it to like a reasonable set of outcomes, like the median set of outcomes for this team, I think they should hover somewhere around 500. And if the offense is as good as it can be based on what Ben Johnson has done, based on the pieces that they have, I see no reason to believe that, or not to believe that, they can't be a competitive team that tries to fight for a playoff spot this year.
Robert, if I said the Chicago Bears are successful because of X, is all the answers Caleb Williams, or is there something else that you look at with this team and say, outside of Caleb, this is going to be the reason they're successful?
I think it's just about getting the most out of your offensive players. And that's been the issue over the last several years. And I mean, listen, it's been the issue for the majority of the 37 years I've been on this planet, outside of like one or two seasons. This has not been a place where you get the most out of your offensive talent. And I think that we've seen that so often around the NFL over the last few years. You have these scenarios with these coaching staffs and these offensive coaching staffs in particular, where you're getting the best versions of all of these guys on that side of the ball. And I think that's part of the reason I'm not willing to write in pen what some of these drafts have been. Like, I'm still holding out hope that we'll get an even better version of Darnell Wright than we've ever gotten. And I think you can extend that to the skill position players. Like, is DJ Moore now in a spot where he has hopefully the best offensive coordinator he's probably ever had in the NFL? Do we see the best version of him? So I don't necessarily think Caleb Williams needs to be a superstar this year, as long as you're getting the best versions of everyone else on the offense. And that would just be so, so different than what we're used to seeing in Chicago, where even if these players are talented, it never comes together for them. And I'm really, really hoping that we start to see a shift there.
What are you most excited about when it comes to this Bears team? I know there's so many different things in different positions you could put a focus on, but what are you personally, Robert, most excited about?
I'm just excited to see how the pass catching options fit together and what it looks like with Caleb Williams. I just feel like the offense in Detroit, they had such a solid understanding of how they wanted to use all of those skill position players. Jameson Williams is the one that comes to mind for me. Like, the plan for how they were going to get the ball in Jameson Williams' hands, even as like essentially a de facto role player for a majority of the time that he's been there. I just think that there's a real thoughtfulness to how that offense is constructed and how they all want it to fit together. And I think that extends to the offensive line as well. Like, this is another example of, you look at that group in Detroit and just how good they were against the blitz, for example, and how buttoned up and organized everything seemed to be. I'm just excited to watch, hopefully, that version of an offense in Chicago, because we just don't get to watch that very often. And there are so many moments in so many years where it just felt like they had no shot on Sunday when things would get started. They were at a disadvantage before the game even started. And I'm really hoping that it feels different this year, where it feels like they're on the other end of the spectrum, where the people in charge of constructing that side of the ball are giving them an advantage before the first play even happens.
Robert, I know we're looking at the NFL. Really, it starts this week with training camps opening for rookies reporting, including here in Chicago. Around the league, is there a surprise storyline that you're really keeping an eye on? Because it's been no secret. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh has all of my attention, because I just want to see what happens, especially not knowing what's going to happen with TJ Watt on the flip side of that with the defense.
I think that for me, it's looking at the teams just clustered in the middle of the NFL. I was looking at over-unders yesterday just to get a sense of expectations for teams. And there is a group at like 8.5, 9.5 wins that I just find absolutely fascinating. The Rams, Washington, the Bucks are in there. The Bengals are in there. The Dolphins are in there. Just which direction that group of teams goes and kind of how it shapes the middle class of the league this year, I'm very, very interested in that. Because yeah, even a team like the Texans, you know, the Texans, they were the darlings of the league a couple of years ago, obviously took a step back last year, especially on offense. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have a young quarterback that I think everybody is excited about if he's in better circumstances, which he should be this year. So just that entire group of teams that feels jumbled in the middle, who emerges from that group as like a real competitor and a real competitive team, and who kind of falls back? That's just one thing that I'm really excited to watch play out, because I find most of those teams really compelling for one reason or another.
He is Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show, joining us here on Raheemy and Harris with Russell Dorsey in for Layla. Robert, before we get you out of here, we got to talk about your trip that you just took. You and Russell have something in common. You both love Europe. You both love the continent. You both love to check things out. 708 on the text line says, he just got back from Europe. Make sure you ask him a food question at the end. He's so good when talking about restaurant and food wrecks. Of course, you have your doc that is in your pinned tweet on Twitter with all the Chicago food restaurant recommendations. What can you tell us about this latest tour of Europe and your food discoveries?
We were in Italy for about 8 days, and we did all of Northern Italy. So Milan, Bologna, Modena, Torino, and then we were in Lake Como for 3 days, and we just ate extremely well. And the thing that probably surprised me the most, we went to Torino, which is in the Piedmont area of Italy, which is essentially squeezed between the borders of Italy, Switzerland, and France. And so they have pasta and all the normal Italian stuff, but it's also very French. And so just the stuff we ate there with these cheese and meat-filled pastas just like drenched in butter snuck up on me in a big way. So that entire area of the world, whether it's Turin, Bologna, all of Emilia-Romagna, like all of that place is just insane, the what you can get food-wise. Like the high-end stuff, but also just any sandwich that you're eating on the street. So if you have a chance and you really love Italian food, I think that area of the world is pretty generally underexplored for people.
And of course, the food much better for you because it's real food.
100%.
This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I see you got the Cubs hat. You're representing. Tell me how you feel. It's the All-Star break. Are you optimistic? Are you anxious? How do you feel about the Cubs right now?
I mean, it's hard not to be excited about like what the offense is capable of and what they feel like every single day. I just have this sinking feeling that we're going to get to after the trade deadline. Everyone's going to be disappointed about the level of urgency. And then this is going to be a fun team that kind of gets lost to history.
Wow, that's very Bearsian of you. your apocalyptic view on the Cubs after the deadline. Wow. Woo.
That's a beaten man right
there. Yeah, I don't think I was ready for that level of just... Like,
I already know they're not going to get a frontline starter and settle for somebody's number four. And
is there somebody at the top of your wish list since you're trying to be, I guess... pragmatic.
I'm trying not to get my hopes up that much. I'd rather be pleasantly surprised by everything that happens here over the next few weeks. I think that's typically how I approach this.
It's a good way to think. I'm with him. Like you can't just it has to be Sandy Alcantara or nobody. Like you can't think that way.
All right. Come on down, Adrian Hauser. We appreciate your time, Robert. Thanks so much. You can catch him again, the host of the Athletic Football Show. That is Robert Mace.